This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, I'm Hanif Baharuddin, and you're tuned in to the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. The New Normal, spelled NRML, is an initiative by the students from IACT College to help the public adapt to the new way of living post-pandemic. Like most other things in the New Normal, the events lineup will be conducted virtually and will be catered to fit into the psyche of their peers. Some of the events available include weekly talks and live streams, online home workout, thrift store auctions, and live performances. To find out more about the events and also how they've coped with the MCO and the challenges of organizing an event like this remotely, I speak to the project leader Kalista Chiu and assistant project leader Aisha Hanim Saleh.
Hello. My name is Aisha and I'm the assistant project leader for the New Normal.
My name is Kalista and I'm the project leader for the New Normal.
What is the New Normal in your case or in your definition?
Alright, so the New Normal in my definition is basically what we're living through right now. But right now we are actually having this event. It's a month-long event, like campaign, where right now we're having our first phase called phase one. So right now we're having weekly live streams every week, and then when we go into phase two, we're gonna have like a whole full day of events. It's gonna be really fun. We're gonna have concerts, we're gonna have like thrifting events, we're gonna have like fitness events and stuff like that.
Okay, so for now the programs are gonna be featured on Facebook Live on a weekly basis, right? Yeah, can you share what kind of programs are available that you guys have lined up?
We have panel discussions, really like insightful panel discussions to help people like adapt to the new normal like we're living in right now. We also have game streams, charity game streams and stuff like that. So we actually have a beneficiary called Pertiwi that we will be asking for donations for. And then when we have like weekly live streams, we will also like encourage people to donate and help others during this time.
What kind of talks and what kind of game live streams do you guys have?
Today we had an Agario stream. The streams are also run by the students from a different course, and we are liaising with them to help them do the streams, and they help us with getting the event out there. So today we had an Agario stream, and we've had talks about how to deal with MCO alone when you're solitary. And we had a guest that was, she was the only one in her family in the country. The rest of her family is in India, and she was the only one here. So we have guest speakers to speak on issues like that, and like dealing with anxiety during MCO as well. Insightful talks like that.
Yeah, can I ask about the timing of the event? Because it seems like you guys are conducting event at a time when the MCO has been relaxed in the country, meaning that there are a lot more people who will be going out as opposed to during the MCO. So are you guys worried about viewership in terms of, you know, people engaging with your content now that, you know, life has gone back to quote unquote slightly new normal, right? Yeah. So is that a concern?
I would say for like the weekly live streams, because we update our calendar and like when it's going to happen a few days prior. So I think that's pretty okay. We're doing quite well. And other than the numbers, I feel like we care a lot about engagement and about like community. So we really like, it's just a small group. We love it. People like engage with us and stuff like that. But of course, if it was like a weekend, it would be so much better. That's why our phase two concert is going to be on the weekend. It's going to be on a Saturday. So even if people will be working on the weekdays or if they're busy with their own life on weekdays and stuff, on the weekend, on Saturday, we're right there to like have fun with them and stuff.
Yes. Okay. So you guys said that the idea of the new normal is to find activities that we somehow have to adapt to, right, during the MCO. So what was the process like of identifying what kind of activities that will resonate with people a lot more? Apart from using the platform as online platform as, you know, the way to do it, how did you guys define or look for the kind of activities that will resonate with people out there, especially during the MCO and even now?
I think it really helped the fact that a lot of, like, our target audience is a bit more young. And we ourselves as young people, we know what we miss doing the most, definitely. For sure, we miss thrift shopping. We miss being able to go out to the gym and have gym sessions with friends and being able to go out and shop. So that helped us a lot in identifying what would resonate with our audience. So yeah, there's that.
Personally, I feel like me and my friends, we all really, really like miss the gym much. And like, you know, home workouts are just not the same. You don't get the same vibe as like going to the gym with your friends and stuff. So at least when it's like live, you know, okay, my friend is at home doing the same thing as me. It's more personal, I feel.
Do you guys do a lot of surveys to at least gauge what's the temperature or demand like among your audience?
We didn't really like go. We didn't really like ask people personally, but we did like research online. People were missing and stuff like that. Yeah, ask around our friends as well, because it's like our age group that we're targeting.
Okay, yeah. So, if you don't mind sharing, maybe you can share a bit about your experience, coping with the MCO. How did you guys deal with it? Maybe you can share your personal experience. How did you guys cope?
Personally, I feel like it was really easy for me to just, you know, shut my room door and not interact with anyone. Especially like, you know, I don't get to see my friends. I really miss them, stuff like that. But to cope, I feel like I spend a lot of time with my family, with my pets, and like even like with friends, but not like face to face. It's just like through Skype sessions. Like, we just do what we can and I tried to keep myself as like busy as possible, as I'm sure everyone else also did, or else we would have just been like sitting down, you know, bored. So we tried to keep ourselves like as busy as possible and try to help time pass faster.
For me, I was always a homebody even before the MCO, but I definitely enjoyed having the choice to go out. So when that choice was taken away from me, I definitely felt it, but it wasn't very hard for me to adjust because I was already very familiar with how to interact with my friends online, because we would, after class, we would play games together, we would have Netflix party sessions together to watch Black Mirror together, and like if we were to ever do work, especially when it's not class time, we would just FaceTime each other and just, you know, teman each other while we do work so that it doesn't feel so quiet and lonely.
So I guess the transition to the MCO lifestyle wasn't that difficult? Is that fair
not
to say?
Not the worst. Definitely not the worst.
What about in terms of your studies? Is that difficult to cope with the fact that I think a lot of universities have adopted to online classes as well?
I wouldn't say it's difficult. It's definitely different because, you know, we don't get to interact with our lecturers as much. But I feel like everyone's been doing really well. I feel like it's really, really helpful to try to put yourself in the classroom, try to engage with the lecturers as much as possible. It makes it so much easier, especially when you're like constantly talking. It keeps you like accountable, and it's different, but I wouldn't say it's difficult. It's actually quite okay. I feel like we've adapted to it quite well.
Yeah, definitely being familiar with how online things are usually done, it wasn't very difficult to adapt to having online classes. It's definitely, like Calista said, it's definitely different to not be able to have face-to-face consultations with the lecturer, but everyone's doing their best, and I think we're all doing really well. Mm. All things considered, we're doing really well.
Okay, that's good to hear. Did you guys face any anxiety? As much as you guys are coping well, were there any moments where you guys felt anxious or a bit more downhearted at how things were going then?
Not to say like anxious, I feel like maybe a bit like, oh damn, I really wish I could like see my friends. I really wish I could get to go back to college and spend time with my friends in real life, or to, you know, see the lecturers and stuff. Because it's our last semester, and we also like, really honestly miss everyone. And human interaction is just really different in real life. So I wouldn't say anxious, just more like I just miss some of the things that we used to be able to do during MCO.
I'm an anxious person in general, and I was very much hoping that we'd be able to go back to college by now, but I adjusted pretty well after about the third extension of the MCO, because by then we'd already settled into online classes, and I learned how to figure out ways to adapt myself to the situation. So the anxiety went away pretty quickly, but I was definitely anxious.
All right, that's good to hear. So what's your takeaway during the MCO experience, and how did you guys perhaps use that experience to do something productive?
Takeaway from the experience, I would say, is that we as humans are really, really adaptable. Like at the start of it, I thought, oh my gosh, I'm never going to get used to this. It's going to be so difficult. But slowly as time passed, I was like, oh, okay, it's not that bad, you know, as long as you use your time wisely. At the start of the MCO, I started painting a little bit, and even like on the night when the MCO started, I could see everyone's like IG stories of them with like painting kits and stuff like that. You could see people starting to pick up new hobbies, you know, instead of just always like looking at their phones. So that was really nice to see.
I think my takeaway from the MCO is that I realized that we as people are very much community based. Like when we don't find ways to see each other physically, we'll always find ways to meet each other online and be there for each other and support each other, because this is definitely a trying time for everybody. So I learned how to be a bit more open to communicate my feelings with my friends online, which was something that was a bit hard for me to do before because I was so used to seeing them like physically, right? So I learned how to do that during the MCO, and I realized how much we need like each other to help. Cool.
Mm. Yeah, and also going back to your project, The New Normal, it's a team-based project, which means that it requires a lot of collaboration between a lot of people. How did you guys go about it? Did you guys adopt to using technology like, you know, Zoom and whatnot? And what was the workflow like doing things remotely, I guess?
Yeah, we do have to use technology. So our meetings are mostly held like online. Actually, all our meetings are held online. We're really lucky because we have a really, really good team who are very good at like communicating, honestly. Like, we're so lucky that everyone has been like, you know, communicating with each other, not leaving one another in the dark and stuff like that. So I feel that's what really makes everything go like smoothly and stuff like that.
Our team is very much cooperative and responsive. Definitely, we're very lucky to have the team that we do have. And with the adjustments to using, because we have weekly meetings to make sure that everyone is updated with all the departments to make sure that everyone is on the same page and not one department is in the dark about something. And if we have any questions, like we're very free to ask each other and make sure everyone like understands what's going on. So the cooperation from the teams, and also that we're very lucky that our teams are not, I don't know the English word for this, but with the IT, like they're very like tech savvy. So it was definitely a plus for us in that sense.
Yeah. And also I feel like what makes it easier is that online, I feel like what Aisha said earlier, you know, so she was before this a bit afraid to like voice her feelings online instead of like in person. But with our team, because I feel like we've come such a long way, we have like a really like strong bond. Like it's not just a working relationship anymore, it's more of like a friendship, which what makes everything so open and like makes communication so easy.
Was there any pressure to remain connected and work all the time? Considering that everything is done from home, right? Is there pressure to make sure that you do things that you're always connected? Like, for example, you can be doing work at 11 p.m. only because, you know, the excuse is that you guys are at home and you guys are not doing anything else. So the idea is that, you know, work, you guys need to, you know, if you have the time, you should focus on work. Or is there like a demarcation between, I guess, personal life and work despite being, you know, at home and available 24/7, quote unquote, yeah.
Ideally, I think all of us would love to have a separation, you know, let's start work at this time, let's end work at this time. But since, yeah, like you said, we're all at home and our laptop is like right there, the desk is like right there, we tend to be like, oh, it's right there, I'm just going to go sit down and do a little bit of work. And then next thing you know, it's like midnight. But it's easy when you like love what you're doing, I feel.
I think that our team is very much built on workaholics, so we do get updates late at night, which is good because it's always nice to see progress and that things are getting done. And yeah, like they definitely are the kind to make sure everything is going smoothly because everyone wants to make sure that the event is going to go as smoothly as possible. So they're willing to sacrifice that kind of time and not really allocate time for themselves. So we're very grateful for in that sense.
What are the challenges of organizing an event or a series of events remotely and organizing an online event? What are some of the challenges and what are some things that I guess people are not aware of when it comes to organizing events of this nature?
First, of course, is the Wi-Fi. As we have recently experienced just now on the call, we have to make sure that everyone's Wi-Fi is stable so that everything will run smoothly, so that there are no delays and stuff like that. I think that's very different from like an on-ground event. because let's say if it were to run like on ground in real life, you wouldn't have to worry about like Wi-Fi connections. But yeah, now Wi-Fi is like a huge part of our life. So that's like one of the major things I think that we really need to make sure is running smoothly on the event day itself.
Like for our team, I think we're very used to this kind of thing where we'll have a meeting and then after the meeting we'll go eat. And we can't do that anymore. So that kind of not being able to relax with each other after, and the fact that every time we call, it's about work and we hardly ever meet to just hang out, definitely is a bit of a challenge when it comes to like, you know? Yeah. So there's definitely that. But I think we're overcoming it pretty smoothly. Like we're transitioning pretty smoothly from on ground to online.
Yeah, that's a good perspective to bring up. I guess the idea that sometimes, even in workspace or even in your working relationship, as much as you focus a lot on work, there is also that element of socializing that sometimes you know comes naturally with work. And I guess when you work together with you know other people in person, it's easier to sort of like slip into that kind of you know let's hang out after work kind of thing, right? Whereas when it comes to working from home, the aspect of socializing right after work is a bit more difficult. Yeah, that's a good perspective there. In terms of utilizing or maximizing the platform, did you guys think about ways to be a bit more creative with regard to the platform? Is there like any other new things that you guys are trying to introduce using the platform?
Utilizing the platform, I would say our major thing is that right now we are in the stages of building a strong community, like a bond with our followers and stuff. So when the event day comes, we are going to be using our platform to empower like indie artists. So most of our artists for the event day itself are all independent local artists, which was like our objective. So we want to really empower them, like cheer them on, let them be known to like our local community and stuff like that. So I would say that's how we're using our platform.
Okay, all right. What about your collaboration with PerTV? Can you share a bit more about the nature of the collaboration?
So PerTV is a soup kitchen. So what we're doing right now is we are collecting donations. And you guys, if anybody wants to donate, you can feel free to head to our like Facebook page or Instagram page and there'll be details there. And the money will be used to feed less fortunate. And that's also another way we're using our platform. We really hope that, you know, this could, we're doing as much as we can to help as many people as we can while we're doing this event. So, yeah.
Okay, so for listeners out there who are curious to find out more about the event, maybe you can just give us a brief rundown of, you know, the nature of the program that is available from phase one to phase two.
Okay. So phase one will be until the 23rd of July. And every week on Wednesdays and Thursdays, we'll have weekly live streams. So we have panel discussions, we have game streams, and all of our schedule will be posted on our Instagram and our Facebook page. So if you guys are interested, check it out. Yeah, you can always just like look it up or you can just join our stream. It's really fun. Everyone is really talkative and engaging and it's more like, I would say, it's not really like a party, but it sometimes feels like it because everyone's like talking to each other. We're all laughing behind our screens. Even though we're laughing behind our screens, makes us feel a lot more connected. So if anybody wants to join in on the fun, you are definitely welcome to. So that will be until the 23rd of July every week. And on the 25th of July, we're going to have a one-day event, which consists of follow-along workout sessions and also thrifting auctions. So you guys are definitely welcome to join also. You can just like work out along with us, or you can even like put in your bids if you want to buy anything. And then at night, we're going to have a concert, a live concert, which will be featuring local indie artists. So that's the main highlight of the day, I would say.
Sounds exciting. Now, to find out more, you can also look for their social media pages.
On Facebook, we are called The New Normal, which is NRML. And on Instagram, we're called The New Normal 2020, also NRML.
You've been tuning in to I Love KL, and this week we spoke to Calista Chiu and Aisha Hanim Saleh, project leaders for The New Normal, an event by IACT College to usher in a new way of living post-pandemic. That's all we have for this episode of I Love KL. If you missed any part of the show, you can check out the podcast at bfm.my/ilovekl, our app which you can find via Google Play and the App Store, and also Spotify. Don't forget to also follow the station on Twitter at BFM Radio. My name is Hanif Baharuddin, and you've been tuning in to I Love KL, bringing you closer to the people and places of our capital city. Join us again next week only on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.